Thank you, Brunel. Well, last week we talked about the father wound, and this morning we're going to be talking about a healthy relationship with mom. You know, God intended for us to have life established on two very strong pillars, and that is a dad who is involved and cares and trains. And another is a nurturing, supportive mom. Those two pillars God intended. He put man and woman together as husband and wife to be parents, and so those are the pillars that we should stand on. That's God's plan. But sometimes those pillars have cracks in them. And that's what we want to look at this morning. You know, you can talk about dads, and the wounds of a dad are pretty obvious, but the wounds of a mom, they're not very easily acknowledged, and it's not so easy to see. And it's a scary thing to talk about moms. You can talk about dads, and yeah, we can say, hey, dad's not been involved or whatever, but man, it gets a little touchy when we start talking about moms, right? We get defensive. But we really do want to look at a healthy relationship with mom. Got a picture there. And that picture is, you can't hardly see it, but it's a picture of my wife, Grace, and my grandson, Cameron. Now, it's not a mom and son, but it's a grandma and a grandson. You know what's so interesting? I don't know. This keeps flipping automatically, and I guess it's all right. So you can't hardly see it anyway. I should have put a picture up there without somebody covering the thing covering their face. But here's what's interesting is Cameron, at that picture, Cameron had cancer. Okay, he went through 2 years of chemo, and grandma just totally gave her life to that young fella. Okay, his mom was 9 months pregnant when that happened, and she was carrying a baby, and it was quite a journey for us. It was really a journey for us. Grace just gave, and I watched Grace age over that time. Grace connected with her like you wouldn't with him like you wouldn't believe. And I wanted to put up another picture, and I couldn't find it. I think I already had downloaded some pictures off my computer and put them on a flash drive and didn't have it on my computer, but I wanted to show you a picture of him just shortly thereafter when he's laying there bald and sick and curled up in a fetal position, because you see, that really gripped Grace. And so what I ended up seeing is I saw this hugely connected relationship between my wife and her grandson and my daughter and her son. Huge. But my wife especially. And you know what? It was a little bit overmuch. So that it impacted the home life, and Grace actually had to pull back. You see, that was a mother wound, but it was coming from grandma. And that's okay. So there's another picture of it, an overly bonded with mother wound. And so what do we want to do here? We want to look at some things here. Robert Lewis said, he illustrated it by this. He said, Kevin loved his wife, he adored her, but he was not strong enough in his own right to say no to her. Now listen, you know, when we talk about this wound this morning, some of you aren't going to even connect. You're going to go, hey, you're talking a foreign language to me. But other of you are going to say, man, this is where I am, and this is where I have been, and this is where I was. So it's really important for us to look at this. So he adored her, but he wasn't strong enough in his own right to say no to her. The chief area that he experienced this was his own need for time. When he wanted space in which to pursue a hobby or be with his friends, she wanted him home and insisted on it. He would comply, then resent her, then his feelings of love for her would begin to disappear. This pattern continued and cycled until finally his resentment built up to a point that he actually left. He complained that he felt smothered and controlled. What he could not see was that it was his own fault. Kevin had never established boundaries with his own mom. A strong-willed woman, she was confident to be in control, and he had never left her. So instead of leaving mom and cleaving to his wife, he turned his wife into mom and left her instead. Wow. Does that make any sense at all? This is one of the most common divorce scenarios that occur today. Men see the controlling woman as the problem, but they fail to deal with their own flimsy boundaries. If they had established good boundaries with their mothers, they would not feel like they're being controlled by their wives or girlfriends. Men often see their wives and girlfriends as a controlling mother that they were not strong enough to deal with, and so they leave. So much that Kevin was dealing with in his marriage was unfinished business. He was still walking around with a suitcase with an apron in it. And that needed to be dealt with. It was a mom factor, and it's prevalent in many people's lives. It was prevalent in my life. There's three boys in our home. It's Frank. He's 2.5 years older than I, and then myself. And then David, my younger brother, came on 9 years later. So for the most part, first 9 years of my life, I grew up as the youngest child. I ended up being mama's baby. Okay, and I was, and I didn't realize it, but my brother recognized it, but I was. And this had an impact on me, majorly, big time. And I was, yeah. And as I went into marriage, I ended up not seeing it, causing problems, and then needing to see it after my wife repeatedly tried to tell me and I couldn't see it. Okay. Because your wife certainly will see it. Why people don't heal? It seems to me that people who have so much struggle with the past have not really visited the memories and the pain. And sometimes people hang on to the hurt so they have an identity. That's easier than moving on and healing and growth. We are complicated people. Sometimes there's layers of pain from neglect and abuse. The defenses we build up are difficult to sort through. But some of those pains are pains that of things that should have been severed and never were. And that's why we're looking at the mother wound, the mom factor. So there's two significant breaks with mom, the physical bondedness and from emotional bondedness. And so the physical bondedness, we see that, right? Here it is. It's oneness with mom. You grew up, you first spent the first 9 months of your life in your mother's tummy, and you were totally bonded with her. You were one with her. Okay, there's that oneness that's there, and it's important that that happens. And then, but the second one is an emotional, that physical separation. Okay, there's birth. That's the first separation that has to take place. And then there's the next one, and that's a healthy emotional separation. And it's that second separation a lot of moms don't make, or they have difficulty making. And it, you know what? It's more important. That separation is more important than cutting the umbilical cord, because that one will impact us and carry with us for life. When a son is seeking to go from being a mama's boy to being a man in his own right, that emotional separation has to take place. It's extremely important for mom to understand it and willingly take part in it. And this is one of the things we're going to be seeing, because you see, I grew up and I was a mama's boy. When I got married, I wanted Grace to take care of me. You see, mom takes care of us, right? Mom, she does our laundry. She starts out by feeding us, nursing us, feeding us, changing our diapers. She really takes care of us. She takes care of our home. And we really like getting taken care of. I happen to like getting taken care of. And so when I got married, I wanted Grace to treat me that way too. Okay. And some of that's okay, but some of it's not. When I got married, I wanted Grace to feed me when I got hungry. I wanted sex when I wanted sex. Okay. I wanted her to take care of me, and I was really good at pouting when she didn't. Aren't you glad none of you are pouters? Now, here's another Robert Lewis writing, and he says this: to understand what's going on with men, we have to look at some developmental patterns in childhood. In the beginning, the young male is connected to mom. If things go well, he learns to feel comfortable with his dependency on her. Bonding, needing, connecting are comfortable, and he enjoys being close. But then he begins to separate from her in the second and third year of life, and he moves out of oneness into a separate identity. And we can see this as we look at children. It's important that he not only become a separate person, that he become secure in his gender identity. You see, we're dealing with a lot of gender dysphoria, gender confusion today, and a lot of it comes because there's this very strong female mother presence in our homes, not even, but in our world's homes, and there's very poor male connectedness and father connectedness. And if you think this isn't happening in the conservative Anabaptist people, you need to think again. We are running into it more and more. I'm seeing it more and more. That tells us, so as we deal with this morning, men, some of you are going to be dealing with it as looking at your own wounds from your own mom, but I'd like for you to also think about who you will be or who you are as a dad, as a grandpa, so that you can understand what your sons need and your daughters need. Because you see, we can change these things. It doesn't have to keep on going. Later, he moves away from his mom toward dad for identification with male identity. And with that, he accomplishes two things. Number one, he becomes a separate person, attaching to his father and gaining more autonomy from the oneness with mom. And two, in his attachment to his father as a male, he gains gender identity. That's important, men. Hugely important. And when that's not happening, it causes lots of problems, which is what we're dealing with. So us as men must be that connecting, discipling, male figure in our children's lives so that there's a healthy male connection. From this strong base, he becomes someone who's comfortable with connection and dependence on somebody, someone else, his dad, but separate enough to be an individual in his own right. He also becomes secure in his male identity. In short, he can love mom and be independent from her all at the same time. You see, we're not talking about rejecting mom. We're talking about a healthy emotional breaking away so that men can become men. And then later he finds a woman to whom he can have a significant attachment, and he marries with a secure identity, and he's strong and separate with his new love when it comes to boundaries and limits, and he stays free of her control, and yet he's comfortable with his relationship, with both his and her imperfections, and now he sees her as a person in her own right, and he can relate intimately with her. He's come full circle. He has successfully returned to the woman, but as an individual, not as a dependent. That makes any sense? Okay. And so you have this oneness with mom, literally a physical separation, umbilical cord cut, and then a healthy emotional separation, and then a oneness with another woman relationally. And this is what God says. He says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Jesus actually repeats this in Matthew. Did you see it says a man shall leave his father and mother? It doesn't say a woman should leave his father and mother. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. I read that how many times, and it took me years before I saw. Somebody had to call it to my attention that it's a man who's supposed to leave. Because when a man does leave and there's that healthy separateness, his wife does not have near the problem connecting. But if he's still tied, and I was, men, I was. My mom didn't want to let go of me. And so she would call and she would interact and she would try and manipulate some things within our home. And she didn't do it intentionally. She did it out of love, out of connectedness, maybe her own fear of having her children break away. So we want to look at this, okay? Exploring the mother wound. A definition: an unhealthy emotional relationship that causes a son to either be threatened by the influence of women later on in his life or to over-identify and become submissive to that influence. Okay? You got a few things to fill in there, and I'll give you a little bit of time to write them in. But there's some important characteristics of this wound, and we want to look at those. And if you can't get all the things filled in, I think in the back of your book, you can actually go and you're going to find the answers there. So if you miss some, they should be there. Don't go looking now. Just do it later. Okay, how's that? So this wound is not blatant. It's subtle. It doesn't jump out at you. It's not a wound of one of abuse, neglect, or absenteeism normally, but it's a wound disguised as love and care. Wow. Moms love and care. They really do. And sometimes maybe a little bit too much. In fact, this is not a wound of inattention, but rather over-attention. Where do you cut off that care? It never seems to be appropriate, does it? the wound looks a lot like love, but it feels like control. And this wound is powerful, and it can wrongly shape and warp the masculine psyche. How does this wound occur? Well, take a look at this one. Okay, I know that one wasn't lighting up, so I guess you have to catch that one over there. Next session, Mrs. Bentlow, I'd like your son to solo. Go to see a shrink, and son takes mom along. But it often begins with an absent or distant father. So you see, men really play an important role here. You see, my dad struggled with his relationship with his father and at home. And he did not feel competent in our home. And so what did he do? He had actually, and this isn't true of a lot of men, they get jobs and they work away from home. That's where most of us are today, which we talked about that in the first session, how that it has changed because men, a lot of us older ones grew up on the farm. Some of you still have. But that has changed dramatically. But my dad struggled with his relationship with his dad, and he didn't feel competent as a husband, as a father. And so what did he do? He worked away from home, and he hung storm doors and windows, and he was on the road all the time. He would leave before I got up, and he would come home after I went to bed. I didn't see a lot of my dad when I was younger. That's huge. It often begins with an absent or distant father. An absent father causes mom to pick up the load and carry it. And it creates the feminized man. It doesn't say an effeminate man, okay? It doesn't say an effeminate man. A feminized man is one who's been greatly influenced by females in his life. And so if he is raised by a woman and dad isn't there to be a masculine role model, then the feminine role model is what shapes who he is. And you know what's another interesting thing is how many... And I won't go there. I won't ask a question. But just look at our Christian schools, especially the more conservative Christian schools. We have almost all female teachers, right? And so the majority of the time our children spend in a day is under the tutelage and care of women at school, at home. And so you see how important it is for a man. When a man comes home, that's when his work begins, because if he doesn't engage with his children when he comes home, where are our children supposed to get a masculine role model and learn how dad processes and sees life? Because it will be different than mom. Absolutely it will. So the feminized man isn't an effeminate man, but he ends up becoming sort of a fearful making decisions because he's not seeing dad making the decisions. He's seeing mom making them, afraid to take risks. And it does create problems. It doesn't work to have two bosses. And so we have a tendency to not lead. And we are wired to lead. God wired men to lead. Excuse me, I got a tickle. And you know, because almost all of this instruction has come from women, and not for men, we have the tendency to defer to women when they're around. This is another thing that happens. If we've been feminized, if we've been raised by women and schooled by women, we have a tendency when we get married to allow our wives to make the decisions and run the show. That was me. So workaway dads who don't engage, and also female school teachers, and I actually changed that. Because I thought, the problem isn't female school teachers. The problem is a lack of male school teachers. I really believe that those of you who are on school boards, I know it's not always possible, but I really believe that male school teachers are important to have in schools. That's something that I'm fairly convinced that would be a very positive thing. We're not going to change it all. But it can also be inflicted. This wound occurs by being inflicted by four types of moms. How about the number one, the well-intentioned mom? You know, she still sees you as a boy, not a man. She doesn't know how to let go, for nobody ever helped her to let go. And it sort of suffocates your masculinity. Okay. How about the needy or hurting mom? Wow, this is a sort of a big one. You see, what happens so much of the time when you have this is sort of a cycle, and it just keeps on breaking down, brothers. And that's this, is if you have men who can't connect with their wives and wives who don't connect with their husbands, you see, God intended for that to be a connection that really works. And when that doesn't happen, you have a hurting and needy mom who isn't connected to the most important relationship that should be in her life, and that should be her husband. And so what does she do? She connects to the children. And when she connects to the children, she has a hard time letting go. She uses the children to fill the void. That's true. I'm just telling you. I've watched moms, they connect to their children. They put hooks in them, and they don't do it intentionally. But the children end up filling the void. Do you ever see that? And so they call their children, even after the children get married and go away from home, they call their children when they should be calling their husband, because they're connected there. And the unwilling to release moms, unwilling to let you go after you're married, she's the one that tells you where you're having Thanksgiving dinner and when and where Christmas is going to be, right? None of you have moms like that, right? That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. We'll have it at your house, and I'll bring the turkey. You know, this is just the kind of, you know, this is normal for moms, but sometimes it's just too controlling and too overbearing. And, you know, for you gals who are listening in, and there are some, we're not attacking you. It's just, but listen and make sure that you're not that controlling mom. We want to welcome all you men who are listening in as well. Okay, but, you know, I watch this even in my wife. Okay, she'll walk into our children's homes and she'll see needs and she'll just start taking care of the needs. And some of that's okay, but some of it actually can really anger the in-law, whether it's male or female. Okay, we have to be careful. And husbands, watch for that sort of thing. Have your antennas up and speak to your wives about it so that they're not creating problems with the next generation. Okay? How about to fill in the gaps, moms? You see, for most of us, mom's always been there. As we get older, yeah, we get tired of her kissing our boo-boos and we want her to just sort of fade out of that. But we still want her to take care of our meals and our laundry and everything else. And then when we get married, we still think we want our wives to take care of us. You see, I wanted Grace to take care of me. Oh, sure, I'd go off to work and I'd fight the lions and the tigers and bring home the money. But I still wanted her. I never disconnected from mom. And so I still looked to my wife to fill in those needs that I should have been leading in. Yeah, she's supposed to take care of things at home. Absolutely, just like I'm supposed to take care of things at work. But when I come home, instead of me sitting down and wanting to be taken care of or expecting things to be taken care of me, I should be there willing to find out what she needs to help out. Maybe she's been worn out and tired with children, but I still want to be taken care of. But when we do that, the king and the warrior, the friend and the lover, sort of dies because the little boy is still inside. How does this wound manifest itself in adulthood? Well, there's two basic responses, and this is the one. Men become dominant and controlling toward women. And you know, I think all of you can just observe and see, but what you really want to do is you want to do some self-evaluation and see where you are. Okay? What's your relationship like with women? Okay, that's the one. We can become dominant and controlling, and that wasn't me. But we can become passive and submissive, and that was me. And I'm not a passive and submissive person. I'm a go-getter. But in business, I could be an aggressive go-getter. But at home, because I never really understood, and my dad didn't understand. Yes, my dad was absent for a lot of the time. I didn't see that solid role model making the decisions in and out. I had my grandpa, and he was a good role model. But even there, I watched my grandma control a lot of the picture. It produces an anger. When you become passive and submissive, it produces an anger. It's I watch this in men. It's an anger that's sort of deep-seated. And you know what? It just lies dormant. I was talking to somebody recently, and I never would have, looking at him, I never guessed him to be an angry person, but I got to thinking about this, and I said, "You're really angry, aren't you?" They had no response. It just stood there and looked at me. And after a while, they go, "Yeah, I'm angry." You see, it's a passive anger that just stays hidden. But boy, it's just simmering below the surface. And all it takes is something to just bump it, and it's going to pop. And that's when you see people do crazy things. Yeah. Making a healthy break with mom. There's two major consequences of this wound. The sons can become overly passive. We already went over this. And he places a high emphasis on his feelings. And he learns to wait rather than initiate. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be clicking these in. He shuns risk-taking. And as he becomes an adult, he looks for a woman to care for him in the same way he looked to mom to care for him. The other thing is he becomes passive. He becomes a soft male. And oftentimes when a man grows up in a home where he over-identifies with his mom, he feels threatened by her or feels controlled or he is submissive to her, which he should be when he's a child at home, but there's a man inside that wants to come out. But he's been suppressed, and as he moves through life, he wilts in the presence of women. If he gets married, he wilts in the presence of his wife. But there's still a man in there that wants to come out, and if he doesn't handle it in a healthy way, then he fantasizes about it in an unhealthy way on how he should handle it. And as a result, a lot of men become the soft male, and they get attached to pornography. You see, porn is one place where he feels like a man when it comes to a woman. He can go there and he fantasizes about this person, and he doesn't have to, she never rejects him. She's always smiling. And he never fears about her saying no. And so he gets attached to this, and it's a fantasy relationship that doesn't work. Authentic man do not have sex with themselves. Authentic men accept the role of being a man, and they take the steps to become men. And that's what we're doing this year. So the feminized man is a man where the king is dying, and he's not taking his role. He becomes this passive husband, one who has connected with a mother wife. He's married someone who continued to take care of him the same way mom did. You know, it's interesting. When I married Grace, she was raised by a very dominant father and very controlling. And she really was attracted to me because I was gentle. I was the opposite. And you know, opposites attract. But afterwards, it was something that she struggled with because she saw this. Then she saw that gentleness and that caring. She started seeing it as a weakness instead of something that she was really attracted to. And that was me. And then after she gets married, that's what happened in our relationship. Oftentimes, if a woman marries a gentle man because she's been used to a harsh man, then she'll see him as not strong and passive, and she starts begin to resent him for his lack of leadership. And I can find myself, even today, I can find myself in this kind of relationship. I try to keep Grace happy, just to keep the fumes from rising. Okay, I can tell there's nobody else like that, but it makes me feel like a passive husband, and no woman really wants a passive husband, even though you think that that's what's making her happy, but it's not. The other thing is men can become overly dominant in regard to women, and it's a maleness that conquers. He's threatened by a woman's assertiveness, and when he gets into a marriage, and and a woman tries to express herself. You see, if you've been oppressed by your mother and you never really severed from her, then when your wife, who might in a very healthy way want to voice her opinion, or she wants you to appreciate her individuality as a person, you can really resent that. And that can cause huge amounts of problems. It's a maleness that conquers. And that's why you see so much violence. You see it coming out in all kinds of ways. Does it always come from mom? No, it doesn't. Listen, we're not blaming all this on moms. Please don't hear me say that. That's not what we're saying. It doesn't all come from moms. It comes from all kinds of other sources that we haven't dealt with in our life. But if this is going on in your life, just take a look at it and see whether mom does play a role in this. Okay? There's a fierce independence. Fear of being vulnerable. I don't need anybody. Okay. You don't share your heart with anyone. You come home from work, you sit down on your lazy boy, you pick up your paper, or you go out to the garage. Okay, you don't engage. I need my space. Leave me alone. That's pretty common. A demanding husband that's self-focused, me-oriented. An authentic man, his work only begins when he gets home, okay? His work begins when he gets home. The difficulty of this woman, okay, we're gonna be talking about Jesus and his mom here. The wound is often inflicted more out of love than neglect. The problem is this love goes too far. It gives too much, gets too involved, asks too much in return, and that's the problem. Every son needs a healthy emotional break with mom that takes him out of mom's orbit and establishes healthy, separate identity, which will enable him later in life to relate to a woman out of a healthy give-and-take relationship. Now, it all sounds good, but every mom has difficulty with this, what we're talking about. So what are we going to do here? Let's take a look at Jesus, okay? If we want to know how Jesus interacted with this, even Jesus' mom struggled with this one, okay? Even Jesus' mom struggled with this one. Trying to, and I gotta watch because my eyesight is not picking up on that writing. I gotta change that writing, so I'm gonna read it out of here. So what we find here is in Luke 2, 42 to 50, and I guess what I'll do is I'm gonna come over here and I'm gonna read it off the screen, because if I don't, I'll lose place where I am here. So it says, as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the company, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. So at the end of the day, they're looking around for their son, and they can't find him. So what you're going to see here is what we're going to see in the scriptures is Jesus is making this emotional separateness from his mom. It's happening. It's taking place. And Jesus' mom is going to struggle with this. Okay? When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, now they missed him after the first day. It wasn't they were wandering around for 3 days before they missed him. So they were responsible parents, but they were in a group, and they felt like it was safe at the group that was traveling together. But they searched for 3 days. Can you imagine those 3 days? I bet they were panicking in Jerusalem. That wouldn't have been fun. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me?" How old is Jesus right now? 12. Isn't it interesting that at 12, this break should be happening? Okay? This should be happening. Did you know, Jesus responds, "Do you know that I had to be about my father's business?" But they didn't understand that statement which he had made to them. So when he says to that, he said, that had to hurt. It had to feel like the emotional umbilical cord was getting cut. And I don't think mom liked it. "Yes, mom, I'm just hitting puberty." And this was Jesus' mom. This was Mary. "I'm no longer a boy. I'm no longer just your boy. I'm about something bigger. I'm about my other father, my father's business." This had to sting a bit, don't you think? And then there's social clarity. Okay, this time he's 30 years old. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." Can you imagine how that felt? Okay. Jesus says, "Son, they have no wine." "Hey, wine, you know. I know where wine comes from. And it comes from grapes, right? And by the way, I do know, Jesus, that you're God, Son, that you're God. So take care of the problem." And he says, "My hour hasn't yet come yet." So then there's spiritual clarity. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were sitting outside, seeking to speak with him. Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you." How do you think, who do you think sent somebody inside to tell Jesus that, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are out here. How about coming out and spending some time with us?" Okay. And then look what he says. "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he's my brother and sister and mother." Do you think that had a sting? What do you think's going on in Mary's life? There's some things happening here. She's standing there going, feeling the cut, the emotional umbilical cord is getting cut. And then he's presenting some spiritual clarity. He says, "Mom, this isn't what I was born to do. Look at me. You know this was coming. You knew this was who I was and why I came here. You of all people knew this. Look at your son. He's not a boy. He's a man. John, take care of Mom. Mom, take care. Let John take care of you. I'm concerned about you. I want to make sure you're taken care of." You see, this took place on the cross. Okay, standing near the cross where Jesus' mother was. When Jesus looked down on this family, he says to his mother and his disciples, whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he was pointing toward John. He was not pointing toward John, but he was referring to John. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that day on, that hour on, the disciple took her into his own household. Do you see, Jesus was looking out for his mom. He cared for her. We are too. I love my mom, and you do too, and I think you do, okay? I run into some interesting situations. But Jesus was caring for them. But sometime around 12, our sons need to see the need to make a decision to start the severing process. And mom needs to be in on this process. But dads really do. Sons need to be responsible for getting themselves out of bed. You see, this is the thing that dad needs to make sure is happening too. Mom needs to be in the process. Dad and mom need to cooperate in this severing process. Okay, if that doesn't happen, you have boys growing up and their moms are continually making their beds, doing all the work, and the boys are not growing up and accepting responsibility. It really does have to happen, men. Sons need to be responsible for getting prepped for school. When they're home, they have to have this mindset that they're going to be taking care of mom instead of mom taking care of them. You see, dads need to start making sure that that happens when they're getting around that age. You need to make sure that you're taking care of this. And he needs to give them responsibilities and chores. Dad, that's your responsibility, to make sure your children, when they come home from school, if they're around the just starting the early teen years, you need to start giving them responsibility and making sure that they carry it out. It's easy for you to give them responsibilities and then not make sure it's carried out. And your sons will not learn to accept responsibility. And then we grow up with irresponsible people and we wonder why. This is very important. Instead of wanting her to take care of him, you need to teach your son to say, "What can I do to help?" You need to teach your son to open doors, to actually step ahead and open the doors and hold them open for the children to go through, or for the rest of the family to go through. You need to teach your children, your sons especially. It can be yard work, it can be dishes, it can be laundry, it can be cleaning. There was only three boys in our home. We ended up doing all the work. Not all the work. I mean, our mom helped us. But, you know, dishwashing was not out of the picture. My mom said she had three automatic dishwashers. They all worked with a switch. But we need to understand and not let our sons think that's girls' work and this is boys' work. Nope, we need to teach our boys. Okay, suggestions for healing this wound. Always start with the understanding that breaking mom's over-involvement is good for you and for her. Authentic manhood is impossible without it. Recognize that your ultimate goal is to become a man whose vision is fixed on what God thinks, not on what mom thinks. You see, some of us who are sitting here haven't cut from mom yet as well. It's not only us fathers planning for our children, but it's us making this severing. This is what Jesus was saying all along. Mom, it's not that you're not important, it's just that I'm moving on to adulthood. I'm moving on to responsibility, to a higher level. And men, if you're going to go to a higher level, you're going to have to go to a higher authority. It needs to be God. That's where you're going to find your king, your warrior, your lover, your friend. If you go to a lower authority, you're going to drop them. You really will. Scripture says that he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Stop complaining about your struggle with mom. If you have this wound, get the support, encouragement, help you need from other men. And develop a plan for healthy independence from mom. Small group is really helpful in this. You know, be willing to share. Be willing to admit. This plan should involve specific needs. It should look for errors. Invite the small group men to help you look at how you're handling this picture. This plan should address specific needs that are troublesome with specific applications, and there are, I'm just telling you, you will have specific things that your mom is invading your space with, like my mom did. I think I told this story before, but my son-in-law, my daughter's mother-in-law called her one time. My son-in-law had gone down to work on a car at his mom's place, mom and dad's place, and he had torn jeans on. And his mom called my wife, my daughter, and said, "I can't believe you would let your husband wear jeans that have holes in them. You're supposed to be darning them and patching them." And my daughter ended up crying. Well, when my son-in-law came home, my daughter told him what happened, and he called his mom up, and he says, "Mom, you will never talk to my wife again that way." See, that was a man, and you know what? My daughter felt protected and cared for. That kind of action is important. That's a specific issue, and it was dealt with. Okay? This plan should establish time-tested boundaries on how you and mom will interact in the future. This plan should include consequences. Oh, my goodness, who likes consequences? But you see, the consequences, and you know, we're not going to have time to unpack this. We want to really wrap it up here real shortly, and there's a letter here I want to read. But in other words, if you put some boundaries in place and mom don't hold to those boundaries and violate them, you have to put some consequences. It might mean some boundaries on visitation, on either direction. You going there, she coming to your place. I don't know what it looks like, but you have to come up with healthy ones. You're not trying to punish. You're trying to establish some independence. Okay. Communicate your plan in one of the following ways. Through a new way of relating. In other words, instead of her being the one who's controlling you, you become a little more assertive. And maybe control some of the way you're allowing her to speak to you. Through a face-to-face meeting, if necessary. Okay. That was on that one. Okay, we already went over that one. And you know what? You're going to get response. Your mom's not going to sit through this without giving some pushback. We'll look at this really shortly here. Use the men in your life. Okay, use the men in life, your life, to report back to for clarity. And here's a big one. If you're married, tell your wife you recognize the problem with an interfering mom, and that you will take responsibility to correct it. She'll think you're hot. I mean, you know what? She would totally be shocked if you actually tell her, "Hey, I recognize that mom's being too interfering with our lives." You know, I remember the time when I finally woke up to this, And Grace started understanding that I saw it and I actually was going to do something about it. And it really made her feel secure. This is important. It really is. Okay. Ask for her support and prayers, but ask her not to get involved. It's your problem, not hers. And you see, for the most of your life up until that point, she felt it was her problem. Okay? In some cases, your efforts to establish healthy relationships with mom, a relationship with mom will result in a time of emotional punishment or even your mom's angry withdrawal. Don't be derailed by it. She'll recover, okay? And she'll adjust. So here's a letter from a guy who is about 40 years old. Listen to this letter. Dear Mom, I want to be honest with you, with my feelings about you, and so I will throw away my natural timidity and say what I think. Many aspects of your recent letters to me tell the worst aspects of our adult mother-son relationship over the past 20 years. Two words come to mind to describe this relationship: dominance and manipulation. I feel like any time I resist your dominant will, your response is manipulative to produce a feeling of guilt in me. Oftentimes in the past, this worked, but to no one's satisfaction. Hopefully, we can now break this cycle. I'll continue to honor you as my mother, but I cannot fulfill your needs in every way. We can acknowledge this without totally cutting off our relationship. I suggest to you that if we find our relationship very painful, then your expectations of it are not proper. I ask that we might have a right mother-son relationship before the Lord. Please recognize that as a grown man, I must follow the call of a man who is no longer tied to his mom. I must follow the biblical command to leave my parents' home and cleave to my wife. Please do not use emotional and manipulation techniques on me in the future, for I am planning to resist it from now on. This letter is from me, not my wife. I plan on letting Betty read it before I send it, but only you and myself can be accountable for our relationship. Betty is neither the cause nor the solution to our relational problems, and she never has been, although in the past you may have blamed her. This no doubt will be a slow-moving struggle, but it's time to begin working on this new kind of relationship between us. I love you, and I wait your reply. He's in so much trouble. So here's her reply. Dear son, maybe there's no legal means to get rid of me as your mother, but I can make it easier for you to be free of me emotionally. I hereby grant you permission to forget that I exist, or ever was, or ever will be a part of your life or the lives of your children. There's no manipulation here, is there? I realize that this is the way it is, but just in case you ever feel burdened by the fact that I actually do exist and you have to put up with me, I want to remove that obstacle before you. I admit that I'm not doing this just for you and the kids. I'm truly weary of the hostility and the rejection, as well as the shattered dreams and hopes I had for us. I waited so long for us to be friends, the kind of friends that I believe we once were. It's not easy to say goodbye to such an important part of my life, but you really leave me no choice. With all the love that I hold in my heart for you both, your ex-mom. P.S. I know how Jesus felt when he spoke in Matthew 23. Oh, how I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chick under her wings, but you were not willing. Isn't that awesome? But the good part about that is she did come around. Okay, now that's a severe case. Without a problem. Okay. The critical need today. Anyway, don't be derailed by this. She will adjust. The critical need today is for fathers to call teenage sons especially, away from dependency on mom and manhood. This really does need to happen. So men, take it seriously. But men, also remember, she's still your mom. She's still in charge. And when she says to take out the trash, take out the trash. You gotta put this into balance for your children. But maybe you as an adult man are still struggling with this. I'm just telling you, I did. I talked with a wife a few months ago, a month and a half ago perhaps, and as I talked with her, it didn't take long for it to come out, the fact that her husband's mom was hugely interfering in their lives. He would call her when they were on their way to church. So on the way to church, she'd have to listen to a conversation between he and his mom. You see, and what we you know, it's interesting. He didn't want this, but he didn't know how to deal with it. And so it was interesting because we had some of this discussion. He might be listening in this morning. Pardon me for mentioning it, brother. Anyway, but it's so interesting because he was taking some really good steps, and I think he's got it very much under control. But you see, this is what has to happen. It really does have to happen. And dads need it. The call needs to be clear and direct. Okay, this call away needs to be clear and direct. It needs to be embraced by the son, the dad, and the mom to be effective. And you know, dads, I just want to tell you, if you really take this seriously and you want to call your sons up to manhood, you need to talk to your wife about it. And see, if she's cooperating with it, then she is also starting to let go while you're encouraging your son to step away. And then it can work well when you have the cooperation of all three parties. Well, you're open and talk to your son about this and the importance of it. And mom sees this. Instead of tenaciously hanging on, she's actually cooperating with it. Okay? And then this last one, okay, and yeah. And mom, it needs to employ ceremony. I really appreciated what my son-in-law did for my grandson when he was 12 years old. They invited a bunch of the church out, and they had a big campfire outside, and they all gathered around. But he had asked the pastor of the church, and he had asked me to, and I think there was another man that he asked while we're sitting there. He said, "I would really like you to come, and I would like you to speak into my son's life as he's moving into his teen years." You see, that involves ceremony. And his son felt very, my grandson felt very special because we were celebrating his 12th birthday, but he was also hearing a grandpa and the pastor and another person that he really valued speak life into him and talk about their hope and their vision for his future. That was neat. It was very important. Yeah. The legs of masculinity, weak or strong, on which a man stands, are established in the home. You know, you want that father involvement as well as mom's support. Okay. So we looked at the father wound. Now we looked at the overly bonded with mother wound. These are huge. They must be dealt with if you're going to move on to authentic manhood. So start working on your manhood plan, okay? Start working on your manhood plan. It's back there in the back of the book. It's a way of putting together a plan of where you're moving from here. You know, I want to apologize, brothers, because I love getting up here and I love having it flow. And it wasn't flowing for me this morning because I'm not used to just having to work out of a book. So till next time, I'm going to try and work on that so that it's more in here and I don't have to rely on the book so much. The other thing is the screen is hard for my eyes to pick up. I need to make sure that the screen's working well. So I'm going to ask your forgiveness for the lack of flowing this morning because I really felt that. Father, thank you for this time together. Would you bless small group time? And would you help the men who oftentimes us men, we fear vulnerability. Would you allow us to be open and share our hearts? Would you help us to be open about this topic if this is impacting us? Or even if we see it in our own homes that we would like to make some changes, would you help that discussion to work well today in small group? Would you bless these men as they move on and as they grow and focus on becoming your men? Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.